times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me.
Wonderful. Amen. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh. Let's take our Bibles tonight. John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. And then we're going to look at a passage, a couple of verses out of 1 Peter chapter number 5. John 21 and 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, while you're turning there, if you're visiting with us tonight or you're a new member of our church, this is your first Wednesday night service with us. On Wednesday nights, the last, probably month, 2 months, we've been studying about a subject called the Savior and His sheep, and why that God compared us to sheep. I think we've pretty much covered that pretty closely, and we pretty much understand why we were compared to sheep instead of other animals. And tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of the feeding process of the sheep. The feeding process of the sheep. And I want you to look at a passage in John chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15, 16, and 17. Then we're going to look at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? For sake of time, I'm not going to be able to go back and read the previous 14 verses, but this is the passage, if you'll remember, where Peter says, "I go a-fishing," and several of the disciples said, "Well, we go with thee also." They hopped in a boat, went out on the Sea of Galilee, went back to the fishing business. If you'll remember, Jesus came to them, called them by name. They said, "We haven't caught anything." He said, "Toss the net on the right side." They did, and almost sunk the boat with so many fish. They drug the net to shore. They came to the shore and found Jesus there. During this time, while the disciples, Peter being kind of the spokesman, kind of the leader of the group of disciples, is probably the reason that Jesus addressed him specifically. Now, I believe that this conversation wasn't necessarily a private conversation, as it was probably more of a public conversation. You know, sometimes you want to talk to somebody, you want to get a point across, but you speak to them, but you want everybody else to hear it as well. That may have been kind of the situation that we're looking here. And I want you to notice in verse 15, the Scripture says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? And he, that's Peter, saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And I want you to notice what the Lord said then. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now I want you to listen to me. Look up here just a minute. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now I want you to notice that the thing that Jesus emphasized in this passage, in his communication with Peter, was not feed my lambs, was not feed my sheep, and feed my sheep, though he mentioned that three times. But I want you to notice the word that he used multiple times in that. He said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And then Peter came back and said, Lord, you know I love thee. You see, that was the element that Jesus was looking for, because listen to me, church, if we don't love the Lord like we ought to, we will not feed like we ought to. He said, look, if you're going to feed the lambs and feed the sheep, there's an element that will drive you to do so. And that element is the element of love for Jesus Christ. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Peter writing here, passing on the same thing Jesus passed on to him. Verse 1, the elders which are among you, Peter said, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now I want you to notice what he told the elders here of the church. He said, feed the flock of God. Stop. Isn't that just exactly what Jesus told him to do? Now, we don't have time to go back and read the previous chapters of 1 Peter, but you know, one of the things that Peter was driving home to them, a relationship, a love relationship with God. And then he's winding it all down. He says, because love will drive you to feed the sheep, feed the flock. Now look what else he says. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And I want to take these verses tonight, the communication, the conversation, I should say, that Jesus had with Peter on that seashore that day when he asked him three separate times, lovest thou me more than these? Peter answered every time, you know I love thee. And the answer that came from that conversation three times was, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. What I'm going to do tonight, church, is use the platform tonight to kind of build the some things that I think we need to understand about the feeding process of sheep. And then I'm going to basically get into only one area tonight because of time. And then we'll cover the rest of it next Wednesday night. Father, would you bless now the short time that we have? Teach us, we ask, Holy Spirit, from the Bible. And we'll certainly give all the glory and praise for what shall be accomplished in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Now, sheep are going to have to eat in order to survive, in order to keep their strength, in order to survive, in order to face the challenges, listen now, of sheep life. We are sheep. And guess what we face every day? We face sheep life is what we face. And you know what we face? Sometimes we face wolves. Sometimes we face nagging other sheep. Remember we talked about that chew on your ear? We face different adversities and challenge in our sheep life. So we have to have a well-balanced diet. And that well-balanced diet, church, is essential. And what needs to be included in that diet is freshness of food as well as quality of food. In other words, we need a premium diet as sheep so that we can be healthy. Now, sheep have a very sensitive digestive system. In other words, they can't eat a whole lot at one time because if they do, they get sick. That's the reason that, you know what, one of the arts that I try to, I covet a little bit. Most preachers have they do a little bit better job. than what I can do is driving home one point, giving one truth, and driving that one truth home. A lot of times, if you give the folks too much, they can't digest it all. See, the digestive system of a sheep is very sensitive. They can't digest too much at one time. Now, listen very carefully. Their internal system is equal to their external system of weakness. A lot of times, we can't digest a whole lot internally because, you know what? Because of the weaknesses that we have externally. Listen, I don't want you to raise your hand, but you know what? I would imagine there's some people here tonight, you're dead tired, right? You're tired. You had a busy day. It's just been one of those days, right? My son just called me just a minute ago. He's having one of those days. He called me and said, Dad, I'm on the side of the road with a flat tire in Oklahoma City. I said, well, God bless you. That's a horrible feeling, isn't it? To be on the side of the road, you got a flat tire, your spare tire looks like a Shipley's donut. You know, and you're trying to figure out, are you kidding me? He was just having one of those days. Hey, listen, you know something? What I'm saying to you is it doesn't matter how old the sheep are. The sheep still face difficulties and they can't digest certain types of things. And so it's very important that we eat a balanced diet. Now, let me say this. God, being our great shepherd, church, understands the makeup of the sheep and the type of diet that we need in order to be healthy sheep. Now, I want you to jot down a few things because here are some signs of a healthy flock. Signs of a healthy flock. First of all, I want to say that a sign of a healthy flock is a proactive shepherd. One of the signs of a healthy flock is a proactive shepherd. That means a shepherd that actually intermingles with the sheep. That means that the shepherd that many times inspects the flock. He gets among the sheep. He takes a look to see what's going on. He asks questions. He tries to find out, hey, listen, what is the need of your life? Hey, what can I pray with you about? See, a proactive shepherd is a sign of a healthy flock. And that is making sure that, listen, I'd rather do a lot of preventative maintenance than having to clean up a lot of messes, right? So I'd rather try to do some preventative preaching and preventative maintenance rather than trying to clean up stuff later on. So a proactive shepherd. Here's another sign of a healthy flock, and that is an active flock. That is an active flock. In other words, that's a flock that's responsive. Down some areas that I go deer hunting in down in southwest Texas, there's a lot of sheep farms down there. I remember a couple of years ago I was down there, and it was, I guess it was November, and I guess it was a little past lambing time, and a lot of little old bitty lambs, man, out there. But boy, those rascals were frisky. And I was sitting out there, and of course, where I was hunting and stuff, the field, the sheep were in a pasture over next to it. But I sit there and watch them. I ain't no telling how many Brother Garner deer I missed because I was watching the sheep. You know, because they just appear. They're like a ghost. They appear for just a minute, a little while, and then they vanish away. Like that's scriptural, isn't it? So, but I was watching sheep, and here's what I noticed. I noticed that farmer over there, just looking around, all the various things that he was doing to care for the sheep. And man, those sheep were jumping around. They were having a great time. Well, I didn't know anything about sheep until I began to study sheep. And you know, that's a sign, active sheep, jumping around, having a good time, praising God, enjoying being at church, being responsive is the sign of a healthy flock. When sheep respond and they're a little frisky, they're excited about serving God. They enjoy being at church. They enjoy the fellowship and they're responsive to the preaching. Listen, they show up at the altar. They respond when God speaks. You know what? That's a sign of a healthy flock, is an active flock. Here's something else I noticed about sheep, that a sign of a healthy flock is a reproducing flock. Now listen, I don't know how many lambs there were in that field, but there was a bunch of lambs. Now, those sheep, we're going to learn later, those sheep were, they were fed the right types of food, but the reproducing of themselves was part of the sign of a healthy flock. In other words, that farmer was doing something right. He was doing something right because there were a ton of little old bitty lambs out there. And boy, they were having a great time. Hey, listen, you know one of the signs of a healthy flock is a reproducing flock. When we reproduce ourselves, when we begin to think about souls and about getting people into the house of God and going out and trying to win people to Christ. A reproducing flock. And then the last thing that I found that's a sign of a healthy flock is a yielding flock. A yielding flock. Some months later, I was back down in that area, and during November when I was down there, you know, the sheep, man, I'm telling you, they had wool galore. A few months later, I went back down there. I thought, man, what happened? Those sheep are rats. You know why? Because they had been sheared. Now, the thing about it is, the sheep, and we'll look at this in just a minute, those sheep, I understood later that there's different types of sheep. These sheep were what they call producing sheep. In other words, they were raised for their wool. And so when I went back down there, man, they had already sheared all that wool off of them. But you know what? They were producing. They were producing. They were yielding. They were active. But you know something? I noticed the farmer out there, they had a proactive farmer. So when you had a proactive farmer and an active flock, a reproducing flock, a yielding flock, guess what you have? You have a healthy flock. And I mean, did he have a healthy flock? I mean, they were everywhere. Now, let me say this, church. The health of a flock is essential for growth and expansion. Now, in the scriptures, we're going to look at it. Go back to John 21 for just a moment, because we're going to look at it that there are three entities, and maybe I should say there are three people involved in the feeding process. In John 21, if you'll flip back there for just a moment and go back to verse number 9. Now, we didn't read this verse, but I want you to look at it for just a moment. Remember, I told you that Jesus on the seashore, on the shore of Galilee, called the disciples, and they came to shore. And I want you to notice in verse number 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, let me stop and say this. One of the key entities or people that's involved in the feeding process is God Himself. Sometimes God Himself will feed the sheep alone. He will feed them Himself. Look at this. When they got to shore, who had prepared this fish? God had. Who had prepared it for? Did He have any help doing it? No, He did it Himself. So he brought the disciples to shore, and He fed them Himself. Look at verse number 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. You see, sometimes God is going to feed the sheep. He's going to feed you Himself. How many times have you been at work and God brings something to mind and He starts speaking to you on your job? Or while you're driving, He speaks to you while you're driving. You know what He's doing? He's trying to feed the flock, feed the sheep Himself. At that. So sometimes He'll do it. Now, scoot down if you would, and let's look at it again. Verse 15, 16, 17. Last phrases, feed my lamb, feed my sheep three times. So another person that's involved in the feeding process, if God doesn't feed the sheep alone or feed them Himself, here's what He'll do. He'll use a shepherd to administer the feeding. He'll use a shepherd to administer the feeding on His behalf. That's what the Lord was telling Peter. He said, go feed my lamb, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. What we learned, the key ingredient is, the motivating factor for Peter was love. It was love for God. You see this book right here? I love this book. My favorite book in all the world is the Bible. Now, I got a lot of books on my bookshelf, a lot of knowledge in those books, but nothing like the Bible. I love the Bible. And so what I'm saying to you, church, is simply that God feeds sometimes. He feeds alone. Sometimes He uses a shepherd to administer the feeding. And then the third entity, the third person, is the sheep itself. Sometimes the sheep have to seek out food and feed themselves. Now, folks, listen. Coming to church, the shepherd, the leader, the pastor, feeding and stuff, that's wonderful. Sometimes God will feed you on your own, or He'll feed you by Himself, and He'll specifically speak to you and feed you Himself. But sometimes, you know what He expects you to do? He expects you to feed yourself. Sometimes, you know what? The grain's not going to be just pushed up right to you. You're going to have to go get it. You're going to have to come to it. So those three entities, and listen, a healthy and active sheep will, our healthy and active flock will always allow feeding from all three in order to grow in their life. Now, as sheep, we have to recognize that food is readily available. Do you know that God provides food for the sheep and it's readily available? Do you know there are parts of the world that do not have the type of spiritual food and access that we have? Hey, folks, listen to me. Just in this building alone, do you know there is food everywhere around here? I mean, there is food for the sheep laying around everywhere just in this building. So we have to realize that it's available in abundance that we're going to have to choose to eat or not eat. Now, spiritual food that we'll find from the Word of God, here's what we'll find. We'll find that it's clean, we'll find that it's fresh, and then we'll listen out, we'll find that it's parasite-free. You know, sometimes, remember we learned in our very first lesson, we learned that sometimes sheep don't always realize what they're eating. So sometimes they'll be out in a pasture and they'll try to eat something that they know that they shouldn't be, or that the shepherd knows that they shouldn't be eating. Now, I'm going somewhere, so hang on, because what I'm going to talk to you about, it'll be very, very short, but I got to build a platform so you understand where I'm coming from. So I want to give you some particulars now about proper feeding. Okay, some particulars. If the sheep are going to feed properly, these particulars need to be in place. That's the reason, church, it's so interesting to realize why God compared us to sheep. Because we're just like this. Just like this. Here's the first thing. Did you know that in order for sheep to feed properly, they need space? They don't like to be crowded. In other words, they don't like to feed head to head. They need some space. They need some room. They need some area to feed. Listen, sheep feed best when they're focused and not being pushed or distracted by other things. They need that space. Listen, folks, that's the reason we have church on Wednesday night. You know what this is? This is space. It's space to come eat. It's space to enjoy. We need our space. I hear people all the time, give me some space. Okay, here it is. Church is space for you to come as sheep and enjoy. Hey, nobody pushed or drug you here. Come on, teenagers, don't shake your head, no. Some of these little kids are going, the parents are going. Oh, don't you love kids? They're honest. I got forced here. But you know, sheep need space if they're going to eat properly. They need the right environment. Listen now, here's what I found out. I found out when you upset the feeding, you also upset the production. When you upset the feeding, you upset the production. That's the reason that when we come, this is our space every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every opportunity that we have. That's the reason we have revivals, stewardship conferences, missions conferences, Great Southwest Bible conferences, and anything else we can have. Why? Because we need our space so that we can come and feed properly. This is just one aspect of it. But sheep need space. Here's the second thing I noticed about sheep. Not only do they need space to feed, but sheep need food that is palatable. They have to have food that's palatable. Now listen, you can throw in, I saw this with my own eyes, didn't believe it. Years ago, I had a friend of mine that raised hogs. And he had some hogs he was raising way down South Arlington. That was down before the Parks Mall and all that stuff was there, back down in that area. And so I went down there to him. He said, I want to show you something, Brother Lassiter. He said, come here, I want to show you this. Literally, he went and got a little trash can about this big of tin cans, Coke can type deal. Remember, that's back before they were aluminum. This was way back there. And so he took that little basket of cans and he dumped it over there in that pen of hogs. And I saw it, Brother Garner, my own eyes. Them hogs ate those cans. Now, folks, listen, if you throw aluminum, tin, whatever kind of cans in a trough, and you tell that sheep, come on, come on, come on, let's eat. And he looks over there and he's like, this? You expect me to eat this? Listen, sheep don't eat tin cans. Okay? Hogs do, but sheep don't. You see, the food has to be palatable. It has to be something that's savory to their taste and nutritional for their body. Listen, you know what happens? You know, let me show you a sign of a growing church. A sign of a growing church is when the people go there and they say, hey, look, you need to come over here because, man, I'm telling you, we put the feed bag on when we come here. There's some good eating over here. You see, the shepherd has to keep very, very close attention to the feeding process. And I want to say this. Remember I told you that one of the signs of a healthy flock is a proactive shepherd? Now listen very carefully. The shepherd, as part of the feeding team, he's going to have to be able to separate the feeding of the sheep from the shearing of the sheep. Big difference. Oh, by the way, do you know they have to worm sheep too? That's a nasty process. But it has to be done. But can I say there's a difference between feeding and worming and shearing? Whole big difference, see? And the thing about it, as the shepherd has to understand the difference. And if he lacks discernment in the three, what he can do is literally scatter the sheep himself, which we learned last week. Now, let me give you one more. One more here, and I'll give you what I want you to have tonight. The third thing that I learned about sheep is this, and that about the feeding process, and that is sheep must be provided food for their purpose. Food for their purpose. Now, let's go back to what I said a while ago. I learned there's a ton of sheep. Listen, you can go check it all out. You'll see. I don't have time to talk about all of that tonight. That's not the main point. But listen, there are so many variety of sheep. And sheep are raised for different purposes. There are certain types of sheep that are raised for their wool. But there are certain types of sheep that are raised for lamb chops. Yeah, that's what they're raised for. And they, listen, and you know that they feed them accordingly? They feed them according to what they are. Now listen, to what their purpose is. But church, listen to me. Do you realize as a spiritual sheep in the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are both? That we are both to be productive and sacrificial? We're supposed to be producing wool and meat. We're supposed to be reproducing ourselves. We're supposed to be presenting a product for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be both of them. Now, in order for that to happen, one particular area that I want to cover this, I've only got just a couple of minutes, a few minutes here. Okay? Take your Bible, go to Psalm 23. We're going to look at this because we're basically what we'll do next Wednesday is finish up Psalm 23 because I think probably the greatest short passage in the Bible that talks about the process of feeding as far as sheep are concerned, you find right here in Psalm chapter number 23. Look at it, if you would. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not... What does your Bible say right there? I shall not want. Now stop. Does God understand the purpose of the sheep? Yeah. Does he understand that our purpose is to produce and to be sacrificed, to be a sacrifice? Is that not what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says? That we're to present our body a living sacrifice? So see, as sheep, we cover both gamuts. We cover the wool side and the meat side. We cover the productive side and the sacrificial side. So God says, since I know the purpose of the sheep, I will feed you accordingly. Now look what he says. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now I want you to look at verse number 2 because I want to cover just one aspect of this and we'll look at the rest of them next time. And that is, look at the latter part of verse number 2. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And we got some nurses and people in the medical field here today. Now you correct me if I'm wrong, but over half of our body weight is water. Am I right? What is it, about 60%? About 60-something percent of our body weight is water. Now, listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. But I think I got this one figured out. If 60-some-odd percent of my body weight is water, I better have a lot of intake of water. I better have some intake of water because if I don't, nurses, I become dehydrated. I become dehydrated. Now notice here what the Lord said that he will do as part of the feeding process and how essential it is. He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, think about this, church. If 60-something percent, maybe 61, 62% of our body weight is water, which is about the same percentage as it is in sheep. It's about the same percentage. And if we don't have an intake of daily amounts of water, we become dehydrated. That's when our body loses the fluids that it needs in order to function properly. When we lose the ability to function, then guess what we get to take? We get to take a trip to the hospital. And we got to have an IV put in with them long needles that look like a pencil. You know why? Because they have to hydrate you again. Now, the thing about it is, if we would have done it ourselves, we'd never had to go to the hospital, right? Did you know, folks, that you can stay hydrated? But it's up to you, right? Now, you say, preacher, where are you going? Are you going to give us some water tonight? I sure am. Did you know that the Bible talks about that the Word and the comparison of the Word to water? And how important that it is. Now listen, there's a lot of things that we need as far as food as sheep. But you listen to me, folks. There's a lot of things that you can go without as far as solid foods for a while. But you listen to me. You can't go with any time without water, hardly. You have to have it. Why? Because of the percentage of your body weight that's made up of water. So guess what? Out of all the wonderful things of the Christian life, the thing that you and I need the most is the Word of God. It's the thing that keeps us hydrated. It's the thing that keeps us motivated. It keeps us operating and functioning. Now, you say, how can you tell whether a person's hydrated in the Word or not? Same way that you can tell whether they're hydrated physically or dehydrated. You know how you can tell? I went and looked it up. But I got some nurses here. They'll back me up on this. They say that one of the first things that you notice about people that become dehydrated is they over a period of time, they begin to lose excessive weight. They begin to lose excessive. In other words, listen to me, the application is here, a change of outward appearance. There's a change of outward appearance that occurs when you're not in the Bible. And by the way, folks, you can always tell, the first thing that I can tell when somebody starts straying from God, the first thing I know, they're not in the Word of God. Because their outward attitude, their outward appearance, everything changes. We have to stay in the Bible. Why? Because that is one of the main ingredients if we're going to survive. So the change of outward appearance. Another thing that you find that causes that's a symptom of dehydration is lightheadedness, dizziness. You say, we getting a medical lesson? No, I'm just making an application here. That means that they become very disoriented. A lot of times they can't tell many times what the right thing to do and what the wrong thing is. And a lot of times they do the wrong thing thinking it's the right thing. And then when they do the wrong thing, think it's the right thing, then they realize it's the wrong thing, so they want to go back and do the right thing. Y'all get that? But they become disoriented. They lose their orientation of certain things. They lose their care for the Bible. They lose their concept and their understanding of what God is and God's love and God cares about me. And this one of the things they lose their interest in church. You see, I'm just talking to you folks tonight because the feeding process of sheep is very, very important. And the number one item that is essential to sheep is water. Now, we don't have time to go into these other things, but I'm just telling you. Oh, by the way, one of the things I thought was interesting that I found out that sheep farmers say that many times sheep, if they're hydrated and doing the right things, they'll have these wet spots right here in their eye. They call them tears. And they say when you're dehydrated, you no longer shed tears. And that's one of the signs a farmer can tell something's wrong because there's no wet spots anymore. And listen, when we're not in the Word of God, you know where you get the burden for souls? Right here. You know where you get a love for Jesus Christ? Right here. You know where you get your care for ministering to other people? You get it right here. Where do you get the love for the church? You get it right here. That's where you get it from. And folks, listen. All I'm saying is if that percentage of our body weight is water, then we need to intake water. But if that percentage of our spiritual body weight is the Word of God, then guess what? We better start intaking a whole lot more of it than what we're intaking, because if not, we're going to find ourselves dehydrated spiritually. You see, the water of the Word is essential. Take your Bible. I've got a couple of minutes. Turn real quick, John chapter 6, real quick. John chapter 6. We'll finish up with this. Okay, John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 63. I love this verse. I've quoted it many times. We'll let you take a look at it. Jesus speaking said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Listen now. "The words that I speak unto you," Jesus said, "they are spirit and they are life." So every time you pick up that bottle of Ozarka water, it's like life. Every time you pick up the Word of God, listen to me, you know what it is? It's life. And there needs to be an intake. You say, "Preacher, where do I need to start reading? What do I need to do?" Well, first of all, read some in the Psalms. You'll get the comfort of God there. Read some in the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes. You'll get the wisdom of God there. Read the Gospels. You'll get the life of Jesus Christ there. Hey, listen, read the book of Acts. There you'll be motivated and challenged to go out and reach the world for Christ. Read the book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And you know what? You'll get some sound doctrine there. That's where you'll get it. You see, God has made His Word readily available and easy to access. You know what we got to do, church? We got to drink it, study it, read it, consume it, love it, memorize it, apply it, and quote it. You know what the Word will do? The Word will teach you how we got here. The Word will teach you what we're to do while we're here. And the Word will teach you where we're going and what we'll be doing after here. You see, isn't that basically what everybody wants to know? How we got here, what are we doing while we're here, and what are we going to do after we leave here? You know where you get that? You get that from the Bible. Hey, listen, folks, that's the reason we have these sitting out there to encourage people to read through your Bible in a year. That's the reason that, if you'll remember, this has probably been a year or two ago I preached on this, and I gave, I think, every family a Bible locator like this. It's got almost every common story in the Bible on it, and I gave it out about 2 years ago just about to every family in the church. I remember the time I preached on resisting the devil. I gave out a resistor chart to everybody. Why? Because it's the Word. It's how you stay hydrated. And if we don't intake, what we're going to find out, we're going to be dehydrated when it comes to the things of God. You see, there's a feeding process. Number one element in the diet of a sheep and of a flock: agua. Water. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who can say tonight, "Preacher, I'm saved, no question about it"? I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say that to me. I've been born.